This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, nasta'inuhu wa nasta'hdihi wa nasta'gfiruh. نؤمن به ونتوكل عليه نثني عليه الخير كله نحمده ولا نكفره ونخلع ونترك من يفجره. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وفقها في الدين يا رب العالمين. We studied so far some of the biographies, سيرة الصحابة الكرام عليهم رضوان الله أجمعين. We studied the lives of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, radiyallahu anhu, Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiyallahu anhu, Uthman ibn Affan, radiyallahu anhu, and Ali ibn Abi Talib, radiyallahu anhum ajma'in. And we have to review the purpose, why we study this, why we go over the lives of the Sahaba. Why is it important for كبيرنا وصغيرنا. Why is it important for our adult, our grown-ups, our elderly and our young people to understand and study the life of these Sahaba? These Sahaba are truly the guiding lights for our life. They are truly the ones that paved the way for the generations of Muslims to walk and follow on their tracks. We live in a society that search for heroes. We live in a society that make up heroes out of nothing. I mean, we see how basketball players, baseball players are being inflated and exaggerated into a position that one of the famous basketball players in our time, and I think it's Michael Jordan, he was criticized once for behaving badly in ways he's gambling or doing whatever, allegedly, because he can get sued these days, allegedly. And he said, I know how to play basketball, but I'm not supposed to raise your children. Meaning that even these heroes that the society make up, they're really good in one thing, and they, you know, excel in one thing, and you may go into your actually children's room and you see a poster of one of them, and that may be the case, but they have not lived up to what we want our children to follow. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed this ummah with many heroes, with many true role models that we should introduce to our children. And we should let their children know their importance and to follow on their tracks. And people should imitate their behavior. We should follow their example really in our daily life, in their dedication, in their understanding, in their love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Although the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not with us now, but his love, our love to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, can be just as much as the Sahaba that were with him. And this is the challenge. And we know how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam one time said, I'm longing to my beloved. اشتقت إلى أحبائي. And the Sahaba said, aren't we your beloved? Aren't we the ones that you love, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لا أنتم أصحابي. You are my companions, but my beloved are people that come after you. That they heard of me, but they never saw me. But they love me like you do, and they long to see me. And they wished if they give up their whole entire family and belongings just to be with me. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, those are my beloved. And the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his promise and his prophet that the beloved of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be with him in the hereafter, and will be with him in paradise. And to live the life of the Sahaba, to understand the life of the Sahaba, and then to introduce the life of the Sahaba to our children, is our responsibility. And that's why we are doing this. We are not doing this, inshallah, for entertainment, or to have a good story about the Sahabi or that Sahabi. we have to take the message. And we take the message to our family. We take the message to our wives, because inshallah, and daughters and sisters, because we will, alaykum salam, we will study the lives of the Sahaba and the Sahabiyat. And the Sahaba, the females that were around the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Inshallah, we will study Ummahat al-Mu'mineen, the mothers of the believers. We need to teach ourselves and our family how to live according to the code of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We continue, inshallah, today, and I chose, inshallah, to continue with the 10, al-ashar al-mubashsharun bil-jannah. We studied already 4 of them. And we continue on to meet the elite of the elite. We meet al-Nukhba. These are the chosen ones by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Those 10 that really led the way for Islam. And to understand why they were chosen, we have to understand their life. They were not chosen arbitrarily. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala munazzahun anil abath. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't choose in random who wants to have in Jannah and who doesn't get the blessing. But He made those people as our role model. And we will study their life to understand why they were mubashshareen. Why they were given the glad tidings of al-Jannah. What kind of life they lived. What kind of method they followed in their life. So we studied, alhamdulillah, Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, wa Ali. So we have 6 left, right? Inshallah. We'll study today, inshallah, 1 of the 10. 1 of the 10 that were given, wa alaykum salam, the glad tiding of paradise. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave them the direct good news from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you will be in Jannah. You will be with me. We will be close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's 1 of the 6 when Umar ibn al-Khattab was stabbed and knew that he was leaving this world, and he was concerned about the affair of the Muslims. He trusted only 6 people of the Sahaba. There were many Sahaba that still around Umar ibn al-Khattab. But Umar trusted 6 of them. And this man was 1 of the 6 that he could be a Khalifa. He would be given the trust for Islam. This man in al-Bukhari said, رَأَيْتُنِي وَأَنَا ثُلْثُ الْإِسْلَامِ. One time, at one point, I was 1/3 of Islam. What does that mean? That there are only 3 men that are adult men that are Muslims outside the house of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was one of them. This man, I'm trying to see if you will get that man before I say his name, inshallah. This man was titled, his title that was given was Faris al-Islam, the Knight of Islam, the Faris. This man was the first to shed the blood for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he was the first to throw an arrow in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This man was called by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, هذا خالي. This is my uncle. فَلْيُرِنِي أَحَدُكُمْ خَالَهُ. Let one of you show me his uncle. Al-Khal, who's Al-Khal in Arabic? You have Al-Am and Al-Khal. Al-Am is your uncle from your father's side. And Al-Khal is from your mother's side. Hamza is Ibn Abd al-Muttalib. He is right. Jazakallah khair. This man is Sa'd ibn Malik. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas al-Zuhri. From the tribe of Zuhra. The tribe of Amina bint Wahab. Amina bint Wahab was from the clan of Zuhra. And Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas was from the same clan. He's the Sa'd ibn Malik. That's his name. But his father title was Abu Waqqas. So his name is Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. This man, this Sahabi Jaleel radiallahu anhu, embraced Islam. He was the 3rd person inside the house of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to embrace Islam. And he embraced Islam when he was 17. And at that time there were only 3 men that said, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. He was the first that threw an arrow in the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he was a marksman, an arrow, and he was an archer. And we will study all of that, inshallah. Jarir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu said, in front of Umar ibn al-Khattab. Umar ibn al-Khattab sent Sa'd as an emir. Remember when we were studying the life of Umar ibn al-Khattab. And he sent somebody to check on him. And that person was Abdullah ibn Jarir ibn Abdullah. And Jarir came to Umar to give his report about Sa'd. And he said, Sa'dun akramu al-nasi maqtira. Wa aqalluhum fatra. وَهُوَ لَهُمْ كَالْأُمِّ الْبَرَّةِ مَيْمُونُ الطَّائِرِ مَرْزُوقُ الظَّفْرِ أَشْهَدُ النَّاسِ عِنْدَ الْبَأْسِ وَأَحَبُّ قُرَيْشًا إِلَى النَّاسِ. He sent a spy on Sa'd because Umar, although he trusted everybody that he appointed, but we know how he was haris. He was very careful. He wants to make sure that those who he delegates this imara to are actually doing their job. So he sent Abdullah. He sent Jarir ibn Abdullah and he came back. He said, Sa'd akram al-nas. He is the most generous of people. Maqdira. When he can punish, he gives forgiveness. So he is generous with the power. He is generous when he is able. He is forgiving, although he is the emir. Wa aqalluhum fatra. And he is the least of them to stay without doing anything, to stay without participating. He is always active, he's always calling for the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said he is for the people that are under him like the mother that loves her children. That's how caring Sa'd was. And he said he is always, the victory follows Sa'd wherever Sa'd goes. Wherever Sa'd goes, Sa'd is victorious by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, when it is time for war, he is the hardest man. He is the fiercest fighter. أَشَدُّ النَّاسِ عِنْدَ الْبَأْسِ. When it's time to fight, he is one of the hardest people. وَأَحَبُّ قُرَيْشٍ إِلَى النَّاسِ. And he is the most beloved of Quraysh to people who are not from Quraysh. Said when Quraysh wants to make itself beloved in front of people, they send Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. How did Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas become a Muslim? This is a 17-year-old young man, a teenager, by all accounts. And he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided him to the message of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. رَأَيْتُ فِي الْمَنَامِ قَبْلَ أَنْ أُسْلِمَ بِثَلَاثِ. He said, I saw in a dream, 3 days before I became a Muslim. كَأَنِّي فِي ظُلْمَةٍ لَا أُبْصِرُ شَيْئًا. It was all darkness around me. And I could not see anything. إِذَا أَضَاءَ لِي قَمَرٍ. And I saw a moon coming. And it's shining through this darkness. فَتَّبَعْتُ. Then I followed the moon. فَكَأَنِّي أَنْظُرُ إِلَى مَنْ سَبَقَنِي. And this moon was leading me and I saw men. People that followed the moon before I did. فَإِذَا هُمْ. I saw them, Zayd ibn Haritha. Zayd ibn Haritha, who was the adopted son of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the household of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa Ali ibn Abi Talib. And I saw Ali ibn Abi Talib. He was also a child. He was a young child in the house of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa ila Abi Bakr. And I saw Abi Bakr. And I asked them, when did you get here? Under this moon. And they said, As-sa'a, just now. We just arrived to this light. And then I woke up. And he didn't understand this dream. He didn't understand what this dream meant. And then he said, I followed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and I found him in a place called Shu'bu Ajyad. Ajyad is actually still a neighborhood right next to the Haram. It's a shopping neighborhood now. It's called Ajyad. And he said, I found Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam there. And then I found him praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I asked him, إِلَى مَ تَدْعُوا. Why are you calling for? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَدْعُوك. I ask you to تَشْهَد, to witness, تَشْهَد أَن لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَأَنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. I call you to the word that there is no Lord, there is no God but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's nothing worthy of worship but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I am the messenger of Allah. And Sa'd said, then I said, أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد رسول الله. He said, immediately that light descended into the heart of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. But Sa'd had a problem. Had a problem like every first Muslim, every new Muslim at that time, السابقون السابقون, those who were in the forefront had, is rejection. They had problems in their house. And the mother of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas was a woman called Hamnat ibn Sufyan ibn Umayyah. Yes.
Assalamu alaikum. If he was, the question is, if he was that
We continue, inshallah, with Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas. So Sa'd had a mother from the clan of Umayyah, the proud people of Umayyah, the elite of Quraysh. And her name was Hamna bint Sufyan bint Umayyah bint Abd Manaf. These names are around, you know, renowned name in Quraysh. This is very famous family in Quraysh. And he was a barru Quraysh bi ummi. He was the one that loved his mother the most. In Quraysh it was known that if anybody loves his mother and anybody obeys his mother, it is Sa'd ibn Malik. It is Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas. His mother became furious. She heard that Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas embraced this new religion. Ittaba' al-Sabit. He followed this man who is deviated from the worship of idols, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the story goes, and this is, alhamdulillah, well documented and well authenticated. She said, فَأَخَذَهَا مَا قَرُبَ وَبَعُدْ وَغَضِبَتْ غَضَبًا شَدِيدًا. She was extremely furious because the rebellion of her beloved Sa'd. So what can she do to turn Sa'd from what he believes in? فَحَلَفَتْ بِأَغْلَظِ الْأَيْمَانِ أَنَّهَا لَنْ تَأْكُلْ وَلَنْ تَشْرَبْ وَلَنْ تَسْتَظِلَّ بِظِلْ حَتَّى يَرْجِعَ سَعْدْ عَنْ إِيمَانِهِ بِمُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. She vowed that she will not eat, and she will not drink, and she will stay in the sun, she will not shade itself. Now, the sun of Mecca is what we're talking about. Until Sa'd denounced his belief of Rasulullah صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. She went on a hunger strike. She went on a hunger strike in front of her son, that she knows how much she meant to her son, and how much Sa'd loved his mother. And Sa'd said, this is Sa'd calling. He said, كنت رجلا بارا بأمي. I was a man that was having bur, having pleasure and having obedience to his mother. فلما أسلمت, my mother said, يا سعد ما هذا الدين الذي قد أحدثت. What is this religion that you're innovating? لَتَدَعَنَّ دِينَكَ هَذَا. You will leave your religion. أَوْ لَا أَكُلْ وَلَا أَشْرَبْ حَتَّى أَمُوتْ فَتُعَيَّرَ بِي فَيُقَالُ لَكَ يَا قَاتِلَ أُمَّةِ. She said, I will not eat and I will not drink until I die. So people come to you and you say, and they will call you the killer of his mother. So you will be ashamed as the one that killed his mother by letting her die of hunger and thirst. Sa'd said, لَا تَفْعَلِي يَا أُمَّةِ. Don't do that, my mother. أَنِّي لَا أَدَعُ دِينِي هَذَا لِشَيْءٍ. I will not leave my religion for anything. See how during the religion, I mean this iman, this fresh 17, we're talking about a 17-year-old person here. Forget about Sa'd, the hero of Qadisiyah. This is a man in his household and his mother that loves his mother. He said, don't do that. Don't let yourself suffer and don't let me suffer, because it's not going to go anywhere. And Sa'd continues, he said, فَمَكَثَتْ يَوْمًا وَلَيْلَ لَا تَأْكُلْ. First day, she didn't drink. She didn't eat. وَأَصْبَحَتْ وَقَدْ جَهُدَتْ. She woke up in the morning, she was really tired. And then another night, another day, and no drinking and no eating. And in the third night, and the third day, no drinking and no eating. He said, وَقَدْ اشْتَبْدَ جَهْدُهَا. She felt, she looked like she was about to collapse. I mean, dehydration in Mecca, today, you try to go for a day without just fasting, you get at the end of the day and you really know what dehydration is. So she went on for 3 days. She was about to go. She was about to die. We know elderly people actually can die of dehydration. Then he came to her and he said, Ya Umma, my mother, Wallahi, ta'lamina Wallahi. I'll let you know Wallahi. I mean, he's making an oath. لو كان لك مئة نفس. If you had 100 soul, فَخَرَجَتْ نَفْسًا نَفْسًا مَا تَرَكْتُ دِينِي لِهَذَا لِشَيْءٍ. Said, if you had 100 souls and your soul will die one after the other in front of me, I will not leave my religion for anything. إِن شِئْتِ فَكُلِي وَإِن شِئْتِ فَلَا تَأْكُلِي. So if you want, eat or drink, and if you don't want, don't eat or drink. And she looked at that and she said that her son is not going to turn away from his belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his prophet. And then she started eating and drinking again. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that occasion revealed Surah Al-Ankabut, And according to most references, this is one of the reasons that this surah was revealed. من أسباب نزول هذه الآية. ووصينا الإنسان بوالديه حسنا وإن جاهداك لتشرك بي ما ليس لك به علم فلا تطعهما إلي مرجعكم فأنبئكم بما كنتم تعلمون. This ayah says, after Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ حُسْنًا. We recommended for a man or a woman, for mankind, with his parents, the good relations and the good dealing. وَإِنْ جَاهَدَاكَ. But did they fought you? لِتُشْرِكَ بِي. To associate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ. Something that you don't know, something that you don't recognize, which is nothing is recognizable beside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in worship. فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا. Then do not obey them. Do not obey them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commended Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. And we have brothers actually in this community that are rejected sometimes by their families for embracing this true religion of Islam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave this recommendation after this incident with Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas and his mother for all the Muslim generation, that if they fought you to associate something with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you shall not obey your parents. إِلَيَّ مَرْجِعُكُمْ فَأُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. You will return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to Allah is your return, and He will inform you with your actions. And this asbab al-nuzul is in Sahih Muslim in Bab al-Jihad. Muslim, radiyallahu anhu, put this in the chapter of jihad. Because this is jihad. To obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala against the will of your family. To put Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before your great love to your parents. And that was the kind of man that Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas was. That is some of his characteristic as a man. But how did he look? He was described by his daughter Aisha bin Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiyallahu anhu. She said, كَانَ أَبِي رَجُلًا قَصِيرًا. My father was a short man. If you want to see how Sa'd looked like, he was, you know, his presence was great, but really his stature, his height was short. بَحْبَاحًا غَلِيظًا. He was stocky. He was stocky man. ذَهَامًا. He was a man that had present, he was very presentable. شنن الأصابع أشعر. He had thick fingers, and this is a good characteristic because people who have thick fingers, they actually have strong fists and they have strong arms and etc. أشعر. He was hairy. He was a hairy man. يخضب بالسواد. He used to dye with black. He used to dye his beard with a black dye. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas was a very good marksman and an archer, radiyallahu anhu. He knew how to throw arrows very accurately, and that was something that he was well known of till actually throughout his life as a knight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as a fighter for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Sa'd is the first man that he shed any thought for the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first man that actually shed any blood for jihad, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, was Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. And the way it goes, that كان أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يستخفون بصلاتهم. In Mecca, the companions of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to go hide and pray. They don't want a confrontational situation with Quraysh. So they would hide in the valleys of Mecca and behind the hills of Mecca, and they will do their prayer together. And one time, the mushrikun ظهروا عليهم. They saw them. And Ka'b and Sa'd ibn Malik, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas was among them. And they started fighting them. The mushrikeen, the unbelievers, starting throwing stones at them, starting fighting them. And Sa'd went up and he, for the first time, defended Muslims physically. He defended the companions that were with him physically. فَضَرَبَ رَجُلًا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ بِلَحْيِ جَمَلٍ فَشَجَّهُ. He took a whip of a camel, something that you drag the camel with. And he hit that mushrik and he shed his blood. And that was أَوَّلُ دَمٍ أُرِيقَ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ. That was the first blood that was shed in Islam. Then when the Hijrah came when the event of Al-Hijrah, Sa'd took the orders of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and he made his Hijrah to Al-Madinah. And then what happened in Al-Madinah? The permission for jihad came on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. أُذِنَ لِلَّذِينَ يُقَاتَلُونَ بِأَنَّهُمْ ظُلِمُوا وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى نَصْرِهِمْ لَقَدِيرٌ. That those who were fought in their religion, who were expelled of their houses, Allah gave the permission for them to fight back, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them victory and support. So Sa'd was with the very first Sariya, you know, the very first, before Badr, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would send expeditions, would send groups of Muslims to scout or to go secure the areas around Medina and to scout the caravans of Quraysh. That's how things went on to the Battle of Badr. And for the very first Sariya, Sariyatu Ubayd ibn al-Harith, the cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that was martyred in Badr, that was the first Sariya. And Sa'd was one of the people that went out of the Sariya. And they went to a place called Rabigh. And in there were some skirmishes between this Sariya and the Mushrikeen for the very first time. And Sa'd took an arrow and he pointed it to a Mushrik. And the very first time in the history of Islam, Sa'd shot the first arrow. Sa'd shot the first bullet in defending the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that was the first fighting in Islam. And that was the first arrow to go out in defending the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Sa'd ibn Malik, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas gave a small poem to describe that event, and he said, أَلَا هَلْ أَتَى رَسُولَ اللَّهِ أَنِّي حَمَيْتُ صَحَابَتِي بِصُدُورِ نَبْلِي أَذُوبُ بِهَا عَدُوَّهُمْ ذِيَادًا بِكُلِّ حَزُونَةٍ وَبِكُلِّ سَهْلِي فَمَا يَعْتَدُّ رَامٍ مِّن مَعَدٍ بِسَهْمٍ مَعَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ قَبْلِي. He is saying that I am the first one that shot an arrow and got someone in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Later on, Sa'd participated in another Sariyah, which is the Sariyat Nakhla, and he was under the command of Abdullah ibn Jahsh radiallahu anhu. Then Badr came, and Sa'd was the very first Muslims that went out with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Badr. And Sa'd was the archer of Badr. You know, in Badr, and we'll remind each other inshallah, the fighting of the fighting of Arabs before Islam was kar wa far. They were attack and retreat, attack and retreat. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came up with a military plan that was ingenious for the Battle of Badr. Because they were one third the number of the mushrikeen, and if they would attack, they would be swallowed by the enormous army, three times their number of mushrikeen. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put a plan that dependent on archers. And here come the talents of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put the archers in one line, like people standing for salah. Like the same way Muslims stand for salah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الَّذِينَ يُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِهِ صَفًّا كَأَنَّهُمْ بُنْيَانٌ مَرْسُوسٌ. Like one line in front of the enemy. And when the enemy would attack, the archers were actually swallow that attack, and they will repel the enemy. And that was the talent of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas. And he would say, Allahumma zalzil aqdamahum. He would put the arrow, Allahumma zalzil aqdamahum. Allah, shake down underneath them, their feet. And he would throw them. Allahumma ar'ib qulubahum. And he would throw it. Allahumma make their heart tremble with fear. Waf'al bihim, waf'al. Do this to them and do that to them. And who's next to him? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So every time Sa'd make this dua while he throwing the arrow, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allahumma stajib li Sa'd. Allahumma stajib li Sa'd. Allahumma answer Sa'd. Allahumma reply to Sa'd. And what happened is Sa'd became mustajab al-da'wah from then on. From then, not only this arrows would go and hit where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordained for it to hit, but Sa'd from that day on, he became a man who, if he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a thing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would reply and answer his dua based on the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then after he finished throwing the arrows, he took his sword and he went on to the battle. And there was, this is the first main battle of Sahaba. So the Sahaba got together, and Abdullah ibn Mas'ud Ammar ibn Yasir and Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas had a little, three little agreements that they will all go for the fighting together. And whatever they can take out of the spoils, they will split it among them. And this in the books of fiqh, you will find this under al-musharaka bighayri ra'asmal, that you can have partners without actually putting much in a capital based on that particular incident between Sa'd Ammar and Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. And the reason that Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, I mean, you know, the weaker Muslim will get with the stronger Muslim and they will help each other and they will go on into the battlefield and whatever they take, they will split. Why is that? Because the rules of splitting the spoils were not revealed yet. After that, it became obvious. Whatever you take, you bring to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, leader of the army, then the Prophet has to divide it up. But before that time, there was not. But the story goes that Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, Ammar and Sa'd became partners in the spoils. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, we went out to the battle and Sa'd brought two prisoners and we brought nothing. So they participated with Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. And one of the things that he did at that time is he got Suhail ibn Amr. Suhail ibn Amr was one of the people, the eloquent people of Quraysh. And he would say bad things about the Muslims. Radiallahu anhu, he became a Muslim later on. And the one that got him was Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. He saw him and he got him with an arrow. So he said, I hit him in his thigh. So he started bleeding. And he started leaving the battlefield. And then Malik ibn Dukhsham, another Sahabi, caught him and brought him to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sa'd survived the Battle of Badr. But there was another member of the family of Abi Waqqas, his brother Umayr. The Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas took his brother with him, Umayr ibn Abi Waqqas, to Badr. And the way he described his brother, he said, I found Umayr, my brother, hiding behind the people before the battle. And I went to him and I said, why are you hiding, Umayr? Umayr was 16 at that time. And he said, أَخَافُ أَنْ يَرَانِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ I'm afraid that the Prophet will see me. So I'm hiding, so the Prophet will not see me. Why is that? فَيَرُدَّنِي He will send me home. He said, what are you doing? We're going to fight, and he is barely a teenager. He's only 16. And then Sa'd asked him, well, why are you afraid that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will send you home? And he said, أُحِبُّ الْخُرُوجِ لَعَلَّ اللَّهَ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى يَرْزُقُنِ الشَّهَادَةِ I want to go out and fight. Maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give me martyrdom, will give me the shahada fi sabila. This is Umayr ibn Abi Waqqas. And then the army stand in one line before the Prophet and he sees Umayr and he said, Irja, go back, go back. You're too young for this. And then Umayr started crying. Started crying, he wanted to go out and fight in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and continued to cry until Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him the permission. So Sa'd said, كُنْتُ أَعْقِدُ لَهُ حَمَائِلَ سَيْفِهِ مِنْ صِغَرِهِ He doesn't know how to tie his sword by his side, so I had to do it for him because he was a very young man. He didn't know how to fight, he didn't know how to go for the fighting in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَقَتَلَهُ عَمْرُ بْنُ وُدٍ And he was killed by Amr ibn Abdiwud. Amr ibn Abdiwud is the most fierce fighter of Quraysh that actually was killed later on in that. But he's the one that killed Umayr ibn Abi Waqqas. So this Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas was found the true martyrdom in the position of his brother, his small brother Umayr ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhuma. Later on in his life, Uhud comes. And we know what happened in Uhud. In Uhud, there was the advance of Muslims, and then there was the retreat, and the breakdown of the Muslim ranks, and then the Prophet ﷺ was behind the army, with only few Sahaba. And one of those Sahaba was Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. And Sa'd was with the Prophet ﷺ with his arrows. So Sa'd was with the Prophet and he will take his arrows and defend the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam against the incoming. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would look at Sa'd and he said, Irmi Sa'd, fidaka abi wa ummi. Irmi Sa'd, fidaka abi wa ummi. And this is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speaking. Now the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's a figure of speech. in Arabic, when you say to say someone, especially, I mean, in that time, it's not, hasn't, this figure of speech didn't really survive till today, but you say, Fidaka Abi, I would sacrifice my father to you. That means you're just so, I would give whatever for you, including my father, I would give to you. And he would say to one Sahabi, Fidaka Abi, and to other he would say, Fidaka Ummi. And then to Sa'd he would say, Fidaka Abi wa Ummi. And to Sa'd he said, by my father and my mother, I would sacrifice them for you, Sa'd. And Sa'd said, فَمَا جَمَعَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ أَحَدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ أَبَوَيْهِ لِأَحَدٍ غَيْرِي. He said he didn't say his father and mother to anybody but me. He had to take pride of that. How the Prophet ﷺ was proud of him. Ibn Ishaq said that the good fighters in the armies of Muslims were four. And they were Umar, Ali, Az-Zubayr and Sa'd. He was one of the four people when the other army sees, they start shaking with fear. And they were Umar ibn al-Khattab, Ali ibn Abi Talib, Az-Zubayr ibn al-Awwam, and Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas. So he was a real fighter and real knight of Islam, radiallahu anhu. One of the things in al-Bukhari, this is in Sahih al-Bukhari, that Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas was given the karama. Now, the miracle is what happens to the prophets, but the karama is what happens to righteous people and awliya Allah salihin. One of the karamat of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas is what happened to him Yawm Uhud, is he saw angels. Is he was able to see angels, and this is in Sahih al-Bukhari, and this is in Hadith number 4054. He said, رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يوم أحد ومعه رجلان يقاتلان عنه عليهما ثياب بيض كأشد القتال ما رأيتهما قبل ولا بعد. He said, I saw two men fighting around Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wearing very white clothes, good looking people, fighting very fiercely around the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These two men I've never seen in the armies of Muslims before, and I've never seen after. And this was one of the karama that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to Sa'd, as he made him see the angels fighting with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in Uhud, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam again said, Allahumma saddid ramyatah wa ajib da'watah. Oh Allah, made his aiming good, his arrow throwing accurate, saddid ramyatah wa ajib da'watah, and answer his dua. And we know Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas was mustajab al-dua. Whatever he prays to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would answer. And Abu Bakr as-Siddiq added to this hadith, Allahumma saddid sahma wa ajib da'watah wa habibhu ila ibadik, and make him beloved to your creatures, to your servants. And the sahba, the companionship with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued. And every time history brings the name of Sa'd, it is actually in one of the battles. Because not because Sa'd was, that's the only thing that was known for him, but that was one of his very important positions, that he was one of the fighters with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And one of the battles also that he excelled in is the Battle of Hunayn. In the Battle of Hunayn, there was only 100 that stayed around the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They turned a defeat into victory. And Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas was one of those 100 that were around the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as he approached his leaving of this ummah, his death, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he stood on the minbar. And before his death, he started giving the sahaba the names of the people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with and the ones that he is pleased with. And he said about Abu Bakr as-Siddiq that closed all the gates of the masjid except the gate of Abu Bakr. And then he said, Allahumma inni radin, I am pleased with with Umar ibn al-Khattab, Ali ibn Abi Talib, Uthman ibn Affan, Talha ibn Ubaidillah, Az-Zubayr ibn al-Awwam, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas, Abdul Rahman ibn Awf. He mentioned those people that he was pleased with. And that's how Umar ibn Khattab chose the six. That's how Umar ibn Khattab chose the people of Ashura, the people that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left this world and he was pleased with, and Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas was one of them. What happened after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Sa'd became a very important figure for the Khilafah of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. He sent them with Usama ibn Zayd to Al-Balqa. We know the army of Usama that was recommended by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas went with that army. And then what happened in the time of Umar ibn al-Khattab is as we studied, alhamdulillah, the Futuh Faris, the conquest of Persia, we know how Al-Muthanna was victorious in Al-Iraq. Al-Muthanna ibn Harith al-Shaybani became victorious in Al-Iraq, and then Persia, Kisra, sent him his most abundant armies and the strongest armies to defeat Al-Muthanna. And he sent Rustum, his main fighter, main general, and he sent Al-Fayruzan, he sent the best of his generals for Al-Muthanna. So Umar gave orders to Al-Muthanna to retreat, to withdraw from Iraq and to wait. And Umar ibn al-Khattab prepared an army of Medina, and he started himself to lead the army to go fight this army of Persia. It was a battle that is about to take place, a battle that is very pivotal, very important for the Muslims. So Umar decided to go on himself and lead the army himself. This is something that he could not really delegate this position to anyone. He wanted to do it himself. And then every Sahabi agreed with Umar. He said, everyone, you should go and fight the Persians yourself. Except one Sahabi, Abdurrahman ibn Auf. Abdurrahman ibn Auf came to Umar and he said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, inni akhsha in kusirta an yad'uf al-Muslimun. If you are broken, if you are killed, the entire Muslim Ummah will be weakened. Because they didn't have only one front with Persia. Muslims were fighting against Byzantium in Sham at the same time. And they were fighting against Al-Aqbat and Byzantium in Egypt at the same time. So he said, if you are killed, Amir al-Mu'mineen, the entire army, every front will be shaken. وَإِنِّي أَرَى أَن تَبْعَثَ رَجُلًا وَتَرْجِعَ أَنْتَ. I see that you send one of the Sahaba and you go back to Al-Madina. Umar said, but who can we send? مَن تَرَى أَن نَبْعَثَ. So the Sahaba thought, well, it's really nobody can fill that position. And they started thinking. And then Abdurrahman ibn Auf came and he said, وَجَدْتُهُ يَا أَمِيرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. I found him. Eureka. I found him. And Amir al-Mu'mineen said, مَنْ هُوَ يَا أَبَا مُحَمَّدْ. Who is this Abu Muhammad? That was the title of Abdurrahman ibn Auf. He said, الْأَسَدُ فِي بَرَاثِنِهِ. The lion in his den. فارس الإسلام. The knight of Islam. وَصَاحِبُ الرَّسُولِ. The companion of the Prophet. السَّيِّدُ الْمُطَاعِ. The man who is obeyed among the Muslims. التَّقِيُّ النَّقِيُّ. The pure of taqwa. سَعْدُ بْنُ مَالِكِ الزُّهْرِي. سَعْدُ بْنُ أَبِي وَقَاسِ. He said, that's the man that can fill the position of Umar ibn al-Khattab and represent Umar ibn al-Khattab on the battle with Persia. And Sa'd and Umar ibn al-Khattab said, نِعْمَ الرَّأِي. Wallahi, that is the man. That is the man. And with all the attributes of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas, listen how Umar gave his recommendation to Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas. This is something that history recorded of Umar ibn al-Khattab and how the Sahaba dealt with each other. The most important thing that the Sahaba were afraid for each other is to love dunya and to have kibr, to have arrogance. All these victories and all these affairs that they were conquering the two superpowers of their time, they wanted to make sure that none of the arrogance, none of the boasting sneak into the heart. So Umar ibn al-Khattab grabbed Sa'd and he said, Ya Sa'd, لَا يَغُرَّنَّكَ مِنَ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ أَنْ قِيلَ خَالُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَصَاحِبُهُ. He said, don't be fooled and don't be boastful and arrogant that you think that people say he is the uncle of Rasulullah, خَالُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ, and his companion. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى لَا يَمْحُ السَّيِّئَ بِالسَّيِّئِ وَلَكِنْ يَمْحُ السَّيِّئَ بِالْحَسَنِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not erase the bad deeds with bad deeds, with wrong deeds. He erased the bad deeds with the good deeds. وَاللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى وَاللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلْ لَيْسَ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ أَحَدْ نَسَبْ إِلَّا بِطَاعَتِهِ. That your family, your genealogy does not meet anything with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except with the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فالناس شريفهم ويضيعهم في ذات الله سواء. He said, the noble person and the lay person in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the same. So he knows that Sa'd is from a noble family, from the elite of Quraysh, the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He wants to make sure that there's none of that would get to the heart of Sa'd. الله ربهم وهو عباده يتفاضلون بالعافية ويدركون ما عند الله بالطاعة. He said, what we have to make sure with each other is al-afiyah, is to exonerate ourselves from sins. The best of us is the ones that leave the sins. وَيَدْرِكُونَ مَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ بِالطَّاعَةِ, and to take what with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, فَانْظُرِ الْأَمْرَ الَّذِي رَأَيْتَ عَلَيْهِ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ مُنْذُ بِعْبُعِثَ إِلَىٰ أَنْ فَارَقَنَا عَلَيْكَ فَالْزَمْ. He said, look at the life of the Prophet. This is not words only for Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. This history words is really for all the Muslims after Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. He said, see what the Prophet did from the day he was sent as a messenger until the day he died. Stick with it. فَإِنَّهُ الْأَمْرُ. This is the way to go, ya Sa'd. هَذِهِ عِظَةِ إِيَّاكِ. This is all I have to tell you. This is all I have to preach to you. فَإِنْ تَرَكْتَهَا وَرَغِبْتَ عَنْهَا. If you leave my recommendations, حَبِطَ عَمَلُكَ. Your good deeds will be gone. وَكُنْتَ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. And you would be of the losers. And then Sa'd went on with these words and he fought one of the greatest battle of Islamic history. And that is the battle of Al-Qadisiyah. The first, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas started the battle of Qadisiyah with the Salah. He made the Salat al-Dhuhr, Jama'ah, with the army. And then he started reciting Surah Al-Anfal and starting emphasizing the importance of jihad. These are the Muslims fighting the greatest enemy for them on earth and the most powerful enemy in that one pivotal battle that was going to determine the fate of the entire Persian front. And then he made his takbir, and we studied, alhamdulillah, in detail, the days and the nights of the battle of Al-Qadisiyah. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas had a problem with his back and his leg during the Qadisiyah, and he was leading the entire battle from the top of a house in the valley of Qadisiyah, and he was prone, he was laying on his stomach, just watching all the movement of the army and making the plans and leading the whole battle from that position. And with that, Rustum was killed and Jalinus was killed and the entire army of Persia was defeated. And then he sent back to Umar ibn al-Khattab, giving him the news for the victory of Islam. And he said, أما بعد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أما بعد فإن الله عز وجل نصرنا. He puts things where things are. He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us victory. He didn't say, because I'm the knight of Islam and because we are the good fighters and it's my good leadership and this is what I did. He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the victory. عَلَىٰ أَهْلِ فَارِسِ وَمَنَحْنَاهُمْ سُنَنَ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَهُمْ مِنْ أَهْلِ دِينِهِمْ بَعْدَ قِتَالٍ طَوِيلٍ وَزِلْزَالٍ شَدِيدٍ. He said, it's the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with those who reject Him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us that after a very hard fighting, after a shaky fighting. وَقَدْ لَقُوا الْمُسْلِمِينَ بِعِدَّةٍ لَمْ يَرَى الرَّاؤُونَ مِثْلُ زَهَائِهَا. He said, this army of Persia that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defeated is the army that Muslims have never seen before. فَلَمْ يَنْفَعُهُمُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ بِذَلِكَ. But didn't help him. That great army did not help him with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. بَلْ سُلِبُوا. The whole army was looted, was spoiled for the Muslims. وَنَقَلَهُ عَنْهُمْ إِلَى الْمُسْلِمِينَ. وَاتَّبَعَهُمُ الْمُسْلِمُونَ عَلَى الْأَنْهَارِ وَالْآجَامِ وَفِي الْفِجَاجِ. He said, we followed them on the rivers, in the forest, and in the valleys between the mountains. And then he said, وَأُصِيبَ مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ سَعْدُ بْنُ عُبَيْدٍ. And he gave him the news that some of the Muslims were martyred in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said, الْقَارِئ, those who recited the Qur'an. And he said, and other Muslims, رِجَالٌ مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُهُمْ إِلَّا اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهُ هُوَ بِهِمْ عَالِمٌ. And other Muslims that died, I don't know their names, but Allah knows them. كَانُوا يُدَوُّونَ بِالْقُرْآنِ إِذَا جَنَّ عَلَيْهِمُ اللَّيْلِ كَدَوِيِّ النَّحْلِ. He said, when the night comes, on those nights of Qadisiyah, you will hear the noise like the bees in their honeycomb. Yes. The hives, right? Jazakumullah khair. Yeah, the bees in the hives, you will hear that noise of Qur'an, of reciting the Qur'an. وَهُمْ أَسَادٌ فِي النَّهَارِ لَا تُشْبِهُمُ الْأُسُودِ. He said, they're like lions, but they're much better than lions during the days. And they are at night reciters of Qur'an. وَلَيْكُمْ السَّلَامُ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ. And then after that, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas left the army to Jallula, and then he led the army to conquer the capital of Persia, Al-Madain, Ctesiphon, the capital of Persia, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave that to Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas and to Muslims with him. And then the time came when Umar ibn al-Khattab was stabbed. And Umar ibn al-Khattab was stabbed, and he gave the shura, he gave the affairs of Muslims to be trusted with only six of the Sahaba. Six of the Sahaba, that one of them should become the Khalifa for Islam. And those were Ali ibn Abi Talib, Uthman ibn Affan, Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, Talhat ibn Ubaidillah, Al-Zubayr ibn Al-Awwam, and Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. He was one of the six that were given the affairs. And Ibn Umar was the seventh one, and he would have no vote in this. He was there for consultation. Jazakallah khair. And that was Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. That was Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, the fighter, the knight, the man is trusted. But Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas was also the companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He narrated of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam 270 hadith. In Al-Bukhari and Muslim you will see 38 hadith from those hadith that is narrated on the authority of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. Al-Bukhari and Muslim agreed upon 15 of them. Al-Bukhari have 5 that is not in Muslim, and Muslim have 18 that is not in Al-Bukhari. And inshallah all of them are very sound, well authenticated hadith. Then after Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas lived his life with the Sahaba and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he became a teacher for the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he taught some of the kibar al-Sahaba. Some of his students was Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma and Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. And they both narrated hadith recited from Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu. And also his best students were also his children. And this is, alhamdulillah, really a lesson for us to see how the good Muslim Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, all of his children became scholars, became reciters of hadith, became authorities on Islam. And his children were Amir, Umar, Muhammad, Mus'ab, Ibrahim, and his daughter Aisha. His daughter was one of the narrators of the hadith, radiallahu anha, and an abuha, radiallahu anhum ajma'in. And some of his students were Sa'id ibn Musayyib, Al-Ahnaf ibn Qais, Ibrahim ibn Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, and Urwat ibn Zubayr, and others. All of these really glorious names in Quran, they were students of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. And Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas was known with his bravery with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And one of the things that are narrated of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas is his positions with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his bravery. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this is narrated on Aisha, بَاتَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَرِقًا ذَاتَ لَيْلَةٍ ثُمَّ قَالَ لَيْتَ رَجُلًا صَالِحًا يَحْرُسُنِ اللَّيْلَةِ. One time the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not sleeping. And they were in a position of danger. And he said, I wish that one of the good Muslims would guard me tonight, or become my bodyguard tonight. And she said, فَسَمِعْنَا صَوْتَ سِلَاحٍ. We heard the sound of the weapons, the swords of armor moving around the house. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ هَذَا? Who is this? And Sa'd said, أَنَا سَعْدٌ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ أَحْرِسُكَ هَذِهِ اللَّيْلَةِ. I am your guard tonight, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, and I will guard you tonight. And Aisha said, فَنَامَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ حَتَّى سَمِعْتُ غَطِيطًا. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam slept very quietly until I heard his deep sound, you know, the deep sound of somebody sleeping, you hear that heavy breathing. He said he slept that well, knowing that Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, of course, with the glory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, was outside. And Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, as we know, is one of the 10 that are given the glad tiding of paradise. And that happened in more than one position. In more than one narration, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas was giving the glad tiding of Al-Jannah. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one time he was in his masjid and he said, يَدْخُلُ عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ ذَا الْبَابِ رَجُلٌ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ. He said, from that particular door, a man of Al-Jannah will come to you. And he repeated it 3 times and Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas comes. And one time in Hijjat al-Wada', the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the last Hijj, he made dua for Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. And Sa'd was ill. at that time in al-Hajj, in the time of al-Hajj. Like many people get sick, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, the Sahaba, were not exonerated from that, and he got sick, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam came to him and he prayed for him, and he said, and this is dua, you really remember inshallah for our sick brothers, and pray with that to them. Allahumma adhhib anhu al-bas, ilaha al-nas, malik al-nas, anta al-shafi, la shafiya lahu illa ant, bismillahi urqik, min kulli shay'in yu'dhik, min hasadin wa'ayn, Allahumma asihha lahu qalbahu wa jismah, washkuwakshuf saqamah, wa ajib da'wata. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed, and this is, by the way, it's not in Book of Hadith, this is in Ibn Kathir, Al-Bidaya wa Nihaya for Ibn Kathir. He said, Allahumma, let the sickness leave him. Ilah al-Nas, Malik al-Nas. You are the curer. You are the giver of health. There is no one that will give cure but you. And I will protect you by the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from all harmful things, from the hasad, from the envy. Allahumma asihha qalbahu wa jismah. O Allah, make his heart healthy and his body healthy. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knows that the heart is really the essence of things. Wakshuf saqama, and lift his calamity and his illness. Wa'ajib da'wata, and make him one of the ones that are given the blessing of replying to their da'wah. So Sa'd used to be mustajab al-da'wah. People will come to him with their problems. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, and he lived in al-Madinah. So, oh Sa'd, would you pray for me? Would you make dua for me? Dua, make dua for this and make dua for that. And in his final days, as he was approaching his 80s, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas became blind. He lost his sight. And the people would come to him and he said, Sa'd, pray for us. Sa'd, make dua for us. And then a man came to him and he said, Sa'd, you are mustajab al-da'wah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, based on the Prophet, will give you anything you ask him. Why don't you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cure your blindness so you can see? And Sa'd said, Astahi min Allah. I'm just embarrassed of Allah. He gave me all these years of health and he just gave me this tribulation for my final days with this blindness. So I complained to him. I would complain to Allah with that. He said, Bal asbir. No, I will have patience, I will persevere, I will endure. Wa ahtasib al-ajr. And I will ask Allah for the reward of this blindness. Because he knows the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. مَبْتَلَيْتُ عَبْدِي بِحَبِيبَتَيْ فَلَمْ أَجِدْ لَهُ جَزَاءً إِلَّا الْجَنَّةِ. Whoever was given a calamity, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala al-afwa wal-afiyah. Whoever given the calamity with his eyes became blind, فَصَبَرْ and endured on this musibah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I will see no reward to that abd but al-jannah. So he refused to make dua for himself, and he wanted to endure with the calamity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the things that Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas did after Umar and during the Khilafah of Uthman and the years of tribulation is Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas refused to go and involved in the fitna. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas i'tazal al-nas. He was isolated from the fitna. He did not go into the fitna, like Abdullah ibn Umar. And Ali ibn Abi Talib praised these two men for not going into the fitna. And he said, لِلَّهِ مَنْزِلٌ نَزَّلَهُ سَعْدُ بْنُ مَالِكٍ وَعَبْدُ اللَّهِ ibn Umar. He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put these two men, Sa'd and Abdullah ibn Malik, in this station. وَاللَّهِ لَإِنْ كَانَ ذَنْبًا. But if leaving this fitna, if not joining the armies, because, you know, army of Ali, if not go with Ali, if it was a sin not to go with me, this is what Ali is saying, إِنَّهُ لَصَغِيرٌ مَغْفُورٌ inshaAllah. This would be a small sin, and inshaAllah Allah will forgive them. وَلَيْنْ كَانَ حَسَنًا. But if it was a good thing, فَاللَّهِ إِنَّهُ لَعَظِيمٌ مَشْكُورٌ. This would be a great position that they took, and inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward them for it. So even Ali ibn Abi Talib did not blame Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas for not participating. And here's the position of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas during this fitna, during the tribulation. He said, مَا أَزْعُمُ أَنِّي بِقَمِيصِ هَذَا أَحَقَّ مِنِّي بِالْخِلَافَةِ. He said, I don't claim that I am worthy of the khilafah. I don't have anything in this fighting about the khilafah. If that's what they're fighting about, the khilafah, I have nothing in this. I'm not going to go into this fighting. And he asked his family not to tell him who's fighting who, and whose victory on who? He said, I don't want to hear the news. You know, turn that media off. He said, don't tell me anything about what's going on with this fitna. حَتَّى تَجْتَمِعَ الْأُمَّةَ عَلَى إِمَامٍ. When the ummah is united again, then come and tell me, and tell me the name that they united on, and I will go with that. Whoever it is, he's more concerned with the unity of this ummah than it will whoever is going to be a khalifa, fine. That's his position, radiallahu anhu. And he said, لا أقاتل, I will not fight, حتى تأتوني بسيف له عينان ولسانان وشفتان فيقول هذا مؤمن وهذا كافر. He said, if you want me to fight, bring me a sword that can talk and can see, have eyes and tongue and lips, and the sword will tell me this is a believer and this is a non-believer, then I will fight. I will fight the non-believers. Meaning that his sword is only to fight the non-believers in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, if you bring me a sword that will tell me this man is a kafir, then I will go fighting. Otherwise, I will not go into fighting Muslims for the Khilafah. One of his advices to his son, Mus'ab, he said, يَا بُنَيْ إِذَا طَلَبْتَ شَيْئًا فَطْلُبْهُ بِالْقَنَاعَةِ. He said, if you want something, then be content with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent you. فَإِنَّهُ مَنْ لَا قَنَاعَةَ لَهُ لَمْ يُغْنِهِ الْمَالِ. Those who have no content, those who are not satiated, satisfied with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send them, money cannot make them happy. Money will never make them rich, because they always want more. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if son of Adam had one valley of gold, he would ask for another valley. This is, so he is teaching his children to content and to be satisfied with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas lived a long life, and he lived till the 55th year after the hijrah. And he was in his early 80s, radiallahu anhu. And he lived into the khilafah of Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, 15 years into the khilafah of Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. And Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas became ill in those final days. And then he said to his children, bring me my wool garments. He had a garment that he hidden. And he said, bring me this one. And he wore it. And he said, you bury me with it. And his children said, what's with the garment? He said, this is the garment that I fought in Badr. This is what I was wearing during the Badr battle. And this is what I want to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with. And he put his head in the lap of his son Mus'ab. And Mus'ab ibn Sa'd is reciting. And he said, my father's head was in my lap, and I was crying, and he saw my tears. And he said, مَا يُبْكِيكَ يَا بُنَيْ. Why are you crying about? وَاللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُعَذِّبُنِي أَبَدًا. Wallahi, I will never be touched by the torment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِنِّي مِنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ. And I am one of the people of paradise. And then he said, recommending his will to his children, he said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُدِينُ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ بِحَسَنَاتِهِمْ فَعْمَلُوا لِلَّهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala owes the believers their good deeds. So work to Allah, have an account with Allah, meaning you want to have a credit with Allah, do the good deeds with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, وَالْكُفَّارِ يُخَفَّفُ عَنْهُمْ بِحَسَنَاتِهِمْ. Even the non-believers, some of the torment will be lifted from them because of the good deeds they did. فَإِذَا نَفِدَتْ قَالَ لِيَطْلُبْ كُلُّ عَامِلٍ ثَوَابَ عَمَلِهِ مِمَّنْ عَمِلَ لَهِ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, go get the reward from the one you were working for. So he's telling his children, when you do some deed, do it to Allah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you do it for others, if you do it to please some person and somebody, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment will send you to that person. He said, go get your reward from that person. So those who do something to please people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell them, go to the people and get your reward. But if you did it for me, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then I will give you the reward. And that's how Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas died on the 55th year of Hijrah, and he was buried in the paradise of Baqiyah, in the cemetery of Baqiyah in Medina, and he died, and he was over 80 years old, and he was the last of the 10 that are given the glad tiding to die. He was the last one to leave. He was the last of the great Sahaba, and in one authority it says that he was the last of the Muhajireen, the last of the Muhajireen to die, and he died on the 55th year of Hijrah. رحم الله سعد بن أبي وقاص وعلمنا الله سبحانه وتعالى طريقه وطريق من اتبعه ومن تبع السلف الصالح إلى يوم الدين آمين والحمد لله رب العالمين. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to follow the path of Sa'd and the Sahaba, that followed the path of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to take that role model again to our houses and to teach our children, and to take from our life, make of our life a way to follow that and an example, to follow their example. Ameen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Maybe we have a time for a question or a comment.